standing. I'm actually going to invite you to, as you take your Bibles, I would ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Romans 3 is printed in the bulletin, I know that, but I'm calling it an audible. And there's a little jumping spider on my pulpit up here. He is sanctified. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read to you the whole chapter. These are the words of God. Tonight we are thinking about the continuity between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Tonight, focusing on the Old Covenant, but Hebrews 8, 9, and 10 are very important to this, so we're going to read Hebrews 9 right there in the middle. Now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is Christ, I'm sorry, just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The grass withers, the flower fades. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, your word runs swiftly throughout all the earth, and we pray that you would cause it to run swiftly in our own hearts. Lord, put to death any evil thought. Help us to focus now on your word and grow from it. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. In 1937, the animated film Snow White came out. I know you were all there and saw it in Hollywood. Number one animated film of all time, grossing something billions of dollars in between its theatrical runs, and then, of course, in home editions. It was published in a VHS in the early 90s, something like 1994, 1995. So it transitioned from reel to reel where you could take it. And I remember at our home, Michelle and I had a little 10-inch television with it was a TV VCR combination deal. And we could pop our VHSs in there, including Snow White, and watch them at will. In the early 2000s, it was transitioned from a VHS to a DVD, high tech. And then finally, it was converted to 4K. And re-released last year in this high-definition way. I'm sure if you subscribe to Disney Plus, you can watch it at your own leisure today. The point that I am making is that throughout these epochs of time, as it were, over the course of time, you've been able to watch Snow White via different forms of media. It began on these gigantic reel-to-reel machines that had to be loaded, and it was projected onto a giant movie screen, and then finally compacted and put onto a VHS that you could have in your own personal collection. You didn't have to wait 10 years to re-watch the film. You could watch it as often as you wanted to after you rewind it, of course. And then the DVD. And the point that I'm making is that there are different delivery devices, the reel-to-reel, the VHS tape, the DVD, and now on-demand. But ultimately, all of these methods deliver the same thing, do you see? They deliver the same content, which is Snow White. In the same way, the covenant that God has made with His people has changed over time, only in the sense of its administration. It's like changing from a VHS, as it were, to on-demand, but the content has remained the same. And so our Westminster Confession, as we're thinking about this tonight, we're looking at chapter 7, paragraph 5, we're thinking of the administration under the Old Covenant, and the paragraph says this: "This covenant was differently administered in the time of the law and in the time of the gospel. Under the law, it was administered by promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision, the paschal lamb, and other types and ordinances delivered to the people of the Jews, all for signifying Christ to come, which were for that time sufficient and efficacious through the operation of the Spirit, to instruct and build up the elect in faith in the promised Messiah, by whom they had full remission of sins and eternal salvation, and is called the Old Testament." What this is saying in sum is that under the Old Covenant, the core elements of the covenant have remained the same. Signifies Christ, it signifies the hope of the gospel, the salvation by faith, by grace through faith in Christ alone, a faith that is given to the elect by the operation of the Holy Spirit, the remission of sins, and eternal salvation. So you see, it's like if we live in the age, the digital age, where we can watch something on demand, the element is the same. We're watching, we're looking at the same promises that our brothers and sisters under the old covenant looked at. The means of delivery or the administration is the only difference. And what we'll see tonight in a few brief points is that the old covenant administered, here it is, the old covenant administered gospel content by means of types, shadows, and copies. Now, this is important because if you grew up, I grew up in the Baptist tradition, which emphasizes the fact that the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament are very, very different epochs. And we would say they are different, but the content is exactly the same. Men have always been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And this is important to emphasize because remember that a few weeks ago, I guess maybe a month ago now or more, we remembered the inauguration of the covenant of grace. After Adam fell, man became incapable of salvation by that covenant of works. No man can keep God's law, ever. And so there is never a point after the fall of Adam by which man can look to the law and become righteous by that law. It is simply impossible. He is born incapable. So since that time, men have needed the grace of God. Men have been saved by the grace of God that has been delivered to them through Christ. The first thing I want you to notice is that the covenant of grace has been administered differently. And administration, this is just a term that we use to talk about the delivery system. Some of you have worked in administration. And as an administrator, you oversee things. You make sure that the content, as it were, is delivered faithfully. The covenant of grace, which is one covenant, is also sometimes called a dispensation. And this covenant was differently administered in the time of the law and in the time of the gospel. You think about administering medicine. You take it in different forms, don't you? Sometimes you receive medicine in an IV or a shot. Sometimes you take it orally in the form of a pill. You place something under your tongue, or maybe you use a nasal spray. But sometimes the same medicine can be delivered various ways. But you're getting, do you see, the same content. It's just the means by which it gets to you that changes. This is the same with the covenant promises. The free offer of salvation by Jesus Christ, requiring faith for salvation, this is always the content that God delivers to His people under both testaments. The confession calls the Old Testament the time of the law. In 2 Corinthians Chapter 3, Paul calls this time of the law the ministry of condemnation, in which men saw the law, they observed their own sin and saw the weakness of their own flesh. We live in the time of the gospel, and I think it's important to note just the way that these are labeled. The confession doesn't say the time of the law and the time of the lawless, does it? It doesn't say the time of the law and the time of grace. As if to say that there was no grace under the Old Testament and now there is. Or as if to say there was law under the Old Testament and now there isn't. What these things emphasize is merely the way by which God administers His grace to His people. So let's just notice this very quickly here, and this is our second point. The Old Covenant of Grace administers gospel content. I label that way very importantly. The Old Covenant is still a covenant of grace. Okay? It is still a covenant of grace. The confession talks about the Old Covenant elements. These things foresignified Christ to come, which were for that time sufficient and efficacious through the operation of the Spirit to instruct and build up the elect in faith in the promised Messiah, by whom they had full remission of sins and eternal salvation. So what I want to do as we enter this second point is just, I'm taking the confession, the paragraph, and flipping it around. The confession begins by telling you what elements God gave and then what they signified. And I want us to think about what the content is. So think about Snow White. The movie Snow White has been delivered in various points at various points in time in different ways, but it's always been the same content. In the same way, under both covenants, we receive the same content. The first thing that is indicated under the Old Covenant is Christ. All of the elements of the Old Covenant foresignified Christ. They pointed to Christ. You think about the covenant with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that he was going to bear children. And in fact, he said, "You will have a son. I will give you a seed, and through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Later in the book of Galatians, in the letter to the Galatians, Paul says, God is not talking about seed as in many. It is seed as in one, speaking of Christ. So in the covenant with Abraham, do you see that God is preaching to Abraham about the Christ who is to come, through whom the nations of the earth will be blessed? This points to Jesus. In the covenant with Moses, the covenant of law, God established a particular government for his people, setting them apart from the world. This covenant emphasizes God's personal relationship with his people and his demand for their personal holiness. But most importantly, perhaps, the priesthood is established. In other words, in the covenant with Moses, God gave a particular group of men who were set apart for a particular role, which was to offer sacrifices continually for the people. This was the ministry of reconciliation given to these particular men, signifying the offering of the remission of sins through blood sacrifice. Again, pointing to the role of Christ. To David, the covenant of kingdom in 2 Samuel chapter 7. God rules over his people, and he provides them order through leadership. You think of the end of Judges, where everybody did what was right in his own eyes. And the author of Judges, probably Samuel, says over and over, "And in that day, Israel had no king." And this is a bad thing. This is sort of like Genesis 2, when God looked at Adam and said, "You're single, that's a bad thing, here's a wife." Well, at the end of Judges, God says, "You have no king, you're doing what's right in your own eyes, therefore, here is a king." This points to Christ as our ruler. Isaiah says the government is on his shoulders. He is our eternal king. All of these covenants link together and they form one unit, pointing God's people to Christ as prophet, priest, and king. Faith in the promised Messiah is signified in the Old Covenant. In Romans chapter 4, verse 11, Paul talks about Abraham's righteousness by faith. He says, "He received the sign of circumcision as a seal," listen, "as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith," not by works. Abraham, therefore, he says, is the father of all who believe. You and I, maybe in Vacation Bible School, used to sing, "Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham." Abraham is the father of all who believe. We learn that circumcision signified inner cleansing, the work of the Holy Spirit. This is Colossians 2, verses 11 to 12. "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Why does baptism succeed circumcision? Because they both signify the same thing. And what is that? The need for inner change. The Passover lamb signified Christ's sacrifice, according to 1 Corinthians 5:7. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And so in all these ways, all that we're noticing is that all of these little details, all of these elements, these signs and seals in the Old Covenant pointed toward all of the things that you and I believe in. Christ, necessary for our salvation, which is delivered by faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, who gives us a new heart. The Spirit, just as He does in the New Testament, worked faith in Old Covenant believers, instructing them and building them up in faith. Paul talks of Old Covenant believers being fed by Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Old Covenant believers looked forward to Christ's kingdom. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. You see, they were looking ahead. These Old Covenant believers were looking through the promises dimly, represented to them in all of these types and signs, and they saw the kingdom from afar. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 8 speaks of Abraham in this way: "Your father rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Well, how did these men see these things? How did these Old Covenant saints perceive the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Through the eyes of faith, by the working of the Holy Spirit. The difference is, you see, that the Spirit is working not through the preached word per se, but through the visual word, through these types and symbols. They were dark and cloudy. But when the Spirit gives faith, He enabled His people to look at these things and see through them to what was beyond. Through Christ, the Old Testament believer was forgiven and he was given eternal life. In Galatians 3, Paul writes this: "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, listen, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed." So you see a little bit of how this is changed in the New Covenant period. We're going to talk about that next week. But all of these things are encapsulated in the things that God said to His Old Covenant believers. For instance, in Genesis 3:15, "He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel, you shall bruise his heel, he shall bruise your head." This is the gospel. "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." This is the gospel. This is what the Scriptures say. "So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." What was preached beforehand to Abraham? Forgiveness of sins unto eternal life through Christ. Thirdly, we notice that the Old Covenant of grace used types, shadows, and copies. And so just again, to emphasize this point so it reaches into your heart, what we're saying is that the content you see is the same. The gospel is preached beforehand. All of the things that are given through these types and shadows to the Old Covenant saints, they believe the same content. The same spirit that is at work in you was at work in that Old Covenant believer, leading them to the same conclusions so that they could look ahead and rejoice just as you and I do. Now, what's different? They were using reel-to-reel. They were using the VHS cassette. It's a different administration. Under the law, it was administered by promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision, the Paschal lamb, and other types and ordinances delivered to the people of the Jews. And just notice the means. There's an interesting phrase. If you've still got your Bible open to Hebrews, turn over to Hebrews 8. I want to read with you verse 5. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." What I think is happening there is when Moses was on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights with no food, that God didn't just hand him down a tablet saying, "Here's a schematic." I think what truly happened is that, like he did for Isaiah, God lifted Moses into the heavenly places. He gave him a glimpse of the heavenly reality and then commanded Moses to construct the tabernacle after the pattern that he beheld in the heavenly places. Do you see? So what Moses is doing is he's taking that heavenly reality and depicting it on earth for the people of God. "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." So when Moses constructed that tabernacle, he was, as clearly as possible, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, depicting the heavenly reality to the people of God. And what God gave to his people under that administration or dispensation was an accurate portrayal of reality. Okay? What God gave to his people under that administration, in the sacrifices, in the tabernacle, in the priesthood, in the kingship, all of these things were an accurate representation of the real. For instance, the sacrifices depicted the removal of sin. Hebrews says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near." These sacrifices of goats and lambs and bulls never removed a single sin, because the blood of an animal cannot satisfy for the blood of a man. They are simply unequal. But they did depict the reality. They were an accurate depiction of the removal of sin by blood. But what they depicted was the blood of Christ. The priest's operation depicted Christ's entrance into heaven. Remember, once a year he would enter into that most holy place. Listen to what Hebrews says here. "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things." Do you see? They're copies, but they're true copies. They are shadows, but they are true shadows. "But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Do you see what we find in Hebrews 8 through 10 is that all of these things in the Old Covenant, all these types, all these shadows were accurate types. They were accurate shadows, accurate copies, so that men with the eyes of faith could look at them and see through to the reality. In fact, I just want you to note that the central point, sort of geographically, as it were, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, the middle passage is Leviticus chapter 16. And what stands right in the middle of the Torah is the Day of Atonement. The day when the priest, once a year, would confess the sins of Israel over a goat and send it out into the wilderness to the demon Azazel. And he would take another goat and he would offer it and sanctify the most holy place. It was the only time that he could go into that most holy place. So the central depiction of the Torah in Leviticus 16 is the atoning work of the high priest for the people of God, depicting the once for all work of Christ. Now, the mediators of all of these things were the Jews. The ethnic Jews were chosen by God as the people through whom the promises were to be delivered. They were to be the ones who took the gospel promises to the entire earth. In fact, God placed them geographically in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean region, so that all these trade routes passed through there and the message of the gospel would go out. They would call all the nations to themselves. Today, the true Jew, the descendant of Abraham, is not the descendant by birth, but the one who shares Abraham's faith. And so in all of this, what we see is that the Old Covenant administered gospel content. And when you read the Old Covenant, that's what you're looking for. Where's the gospel content here? It delivers it by means of types, shadows, and copies. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that in your divine wisdom you chose to reveal salvation to your people in this way those many ages ago. And overall, Lord, you demonstrated the weakness of our flesh. You showed our rebelliousness. But you also gave your great promises and hopes to men who were rebellious against you. You called Noah to salvation, and Abraham to salvation, and Isaac and Jacob to salvation, O Lord. And the 12 tribes you called to salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you showed them the ministry of reconciliation. You gave priests and kings so that your people could be built up and instructed in the most holy faith. We praise you, O Father, that now, Lord, we live in the dispensation of the gospel. All of these types and shadows have been taken away because the real has come. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful, recognizing the great responsibility placed upon our shoulders. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.